Jack, this is hard for me.
The Chinese have proof that you led the assault on their consulate.
And now the Chinese want me.
That's right.
Listen to me very carefully.
The man they sent to take you into custody has orders to kill you.
Orders from who?
Someone in Logan's camp.
Dale Spaulding, Secret Service.
I have orders to take Jack Bauer into custody. I intend to execute those orders.
Jack. He's dead.
Sorry.
Jack. Give me the epinephrine.
I hope it's not too late. He really looks dead.
Come on, Jack. Come on, Jack, damn it! Hey. All right, Chloe, I need you to run interference with the local coroner. Make sure their database syncs up with Jack's information.
That won't cover the autopsy.
There's not going to be an autopsy. They wanted Jack dead, now he's dead.
Mr. President, you saved my life.
I'm only sorry it came to this.
I just want to let you know that I was out.
I'm glad.
Jack, you do understand when you hang up.
For all intents and purposes, Jack Bauer's dead.
I understand that, sir. Mr. President, it's been an honor.
The following takes place between 7 a.m. and 8 a.m.
Hello, my name is John Cassar. I'm the producer-director on 24, and with me is...
Howard Gordon, the writer-producer.
And I directed this episode, and Howard wrote it.
I did indeed.
And here we are. So we definitely wanted to start with something completely different for Jack to be doing, and this was it.
We painted ourselves in a corner, in a sense, with an interesting end, but we wondered how we were going to bring him back, and it was tough.
I think this was interesting, too, because you not only saw him doing this one job, or you got a sense that he was obviously doing this. This is the kind of job, obviously, you know, you get to work that day. So it felt like the whole time he's been gone, he's been doing that kind of work.
And I'm not remembering, John, but was it Kiefer? I think Kiefer may have pitched us this very scene.
Yeah, pretty close, I think you're right. I think he did. And it was also a problem because he couldn't really be working because we didn't want him up all the time. I think the first draft, he was just coming off a night shift.
That's right. He'd been up all night.
I think that was better. And then I really like the contrast here between going from the minefield to, you know, Wilshire Boulevard in L.A.
Well, you know, and just to go back on the previous scene, we'd thought at one point of how cool it would be not to show Kiefer until
right.
the second act.
That's right.
And briefly we flirted with that.
But it's hard not to show Kiefer until the second act.
And I think we made the right choice. Well, this scene obviously is the cornerstone of the entire episode and arguably
absolutely.
The entire season.
Absolutely. And it's not one of those scenes where you think it's just going to launch you and that's all it's going to be. It actually did, as we're on the episodes we're on now, it's still hanging in as what the whole season's about.
Well, when Dennis also was, you know, kind of reluctant to even do it because I don't think he wanted to say goodbye. But when I had lunch with him and I remember saying, the entire season, you're in the entire season,
right.
It's going to be about you. And at the time, I kind of thought I was just selling him.
but
in fact, I realized, you know, that as we talked about it, that's really what's happened.
And I think the character, I mean, was with us for so long that he deserves to have
that,
you know,
stature,
that kind of storyline and that stature
right.
through the year. And these guys are so good together.
Oh, and of course,
I mean,
DB
so
is.
Great to see DB.
Yeah.
Whatever it is, you can tell me.
I mean, the challenge, I think, from writing it and obviously directing it, too, is that after this moment, how do you mourn and sustain? And how do you? It was very, very different than anything we'd ever done before, which is always about some looming threat.
Yeah, and I mean, this has got to be the most shocking moment, you know, this particular shot, I think, is as scary as any shot can be.
And I've seen it, 100 times?
Yeah.
And it still makes you jump.
Yeah. This is a story we have to tell about our bad guy.
Oh, yeah. Take it away.
Let's just watch poor Dennis die. But basically, the guy that shot him was our third reincarnation of that actor. We just couldn't find the right character and the right actor to play that part. So, in fact, what you saw there was the third time we had shot that shot.
This particular moment is one that I'm particularly proud of, but to, in 3 or 4 lines, redefine
who he is
by this, you know, being concerned about the size of his chair.
Yeah, I love that. And I'm also going to give kudos here to Joseph Hodges. This is our new set. that he built. And if you notice the shot, I virtually brought him right from one end
right.
to the other. So within the first scene, you're already saying to yourself, okay, here's our new workspace for the year. But it worked. I mean, it worked because there was energy and he was moving and he was happy and everything was good, of course, until the phone call.
Until it wasn't, right.
Should be fine, sir.
And I think that's really funny with our show because it almost every year starts in sort of the same way where you're saying, here are the lives they were leading. It was all good. It was
right.
all good for
right.
him. It was pretty good for Jack, too, until
right.
what happened
right.
happened.
You're the only one she listens to.
And then it all turns. Greg, of course, doing an amazing job as the president, the man you love to hate.
We knew last year we'd struck gold with him.
We did. Absolutely struck gold.
Mike, what is it?
And good to see the support around him, too. I mean, Jude just does an amazing job as Novik, so it was nice to have him back.
What? What just happened? Oh, my God. Where?
In L.A.
I don't believe this.
And then, of course, John L. Nelson playing Cummings, and he was a holdover from the last few episodes last year.
And one thing I think we were concerned about, this was a last-minute addition. This was another character entirely.
That's right.
And then we said, you know, let's make it this guy. And I guess people who were thinking hard about it would probably have thought,
That's
wait
right.
a second, this is the guy who ordered
yeah.
Kiefer's hit at the end of last year. Maybe he's not such a good guy.
Yeah, and that's, you know, that works for us. I mean, I absolutely love when you guys write characters from even 2 years ago. You know, and I know sometimes there's a resistance because it's like, oh, who's going to remember that? Who's going to remember that person?
Well, I think what's good about it is it's consistent, and it's also, because we sort of played him card up by the end of episode
right.
two.
You already
we
know.
Didn't, yeah, it
That's right.
didn't, we didn't keep it in our pocket.
But I think it's nice when you bring people back like that because on our show, we have so little time for backstory.
Right.
We have so little time to say what characters did. So if you bring them back from a year that they already existed,
right.
you've got that built in already.
Here, of course, is James Morrison, who plays...
Who also, I think, you know, got brought in last year to take over when Reiko was...
Right.
Michelle was head of CTU, and has become a staple. I mean, really strong character, great actor.
It's always challenging to have someone who has the authority and the...
Yeah, that's believable.
Yeah. Deliver mouthfuls of exposition.
Yeah. And poor James has that job. It's a tough one.
Don't give me protocols, Bill. Give me results. Whoever did this.
Again, it's fun to play with this technology to do the screens, which we do live.
I would ask that you consider postponing.
Basically, the way we do it is that while Greg is here being the president, James is actually on the CTU set, which is right beside this
mm-hmm.
set, and we've got a video camera on him there, so
right.
it all plays live interaction. We don't just tape it and play it back. They actually can interact with each other through the screens, which is really important. Otherwise, the timing and the pacing would be very different.
Political and economic capital I've spent just to get the Russians to the table.
You know, I'm hearing the score. You know, obviously that's another story by
yeah,
itself.
That's a good
one of the challenges of this thing was how to balance this mournful, you know, post Palmer's assassination with something that was propelling, that was compelling. And we went through three scores, and Joel kept on writing. Sean
yeah,
told us
Sean.
To tear up the score, and he really added this pulse in the final
yeah,
score.
That worked great.
That worked just. Made all the difference.
Yeah, especially when you have scenes like this, because it's got to carry you through. You know, it's all got to carry you through. But this was wonderful to shoot a scene like this. It was so odd on the day, shooting someone's bedroom with this little relationship love story thing. We're all looking at each other going, boy, this isn't 24. It might be normal on any other show on television, but for us, it's really odd.
Although one of the things, too, you know, again, what was exciting about bringing Chloe in like this was that we've, you know, the first season we saw, who, you know, she was this quirky,
right.
idiosyncratic, programmer. Last year we had that moment where she was actually out in the field.
Which everyone loved.
Yeah, I mean now she's a three-dimensional, full-blooded
woman. And she's hot.
She's so hot.
Mary Lynn is so hot.
This is the year of Mary Lynn.
This is. This is Mary Lynn's. I think every year is Mary Lynn's year.
True.
But again, it was really nice and there's a, you know, a nice personal moment, even though her social skills still kind of suck. But again,
I love
a fun scene
moment.
To do.
Yeah.
But of course, it all gets broken up, and that's our show.
Right.
You know, if this moment was nothing but this moment and you went on to something else, you'd be thinking, what was that about?
Right.
But the fact that it gets capped by what's about to happen, that's 24. Oh, darn, that was close. That was so close. You never get that kiss in.
I want to know how you kept her bathrobe off her shoulder.
Well, the funny thing is, it's really funny. No, it's one of those things where, you know, it's one of those happy accidents. And on one of the takes, you just came over so quickly, it was off. And I loved it. And then from there on in, we kind of rigged it so it always fell off.
Right.
I just liked it. There was just something, you know, something sensual about it. And this was something I think we added pretty late. I'm not sure.
Well, this was actually in Act Two, and Joel
moved it
up, and I think it was right for Kiefer to be on the same page as everyone. He learned about it almost after the next.
That's right, and you had to have this because I mean there was such a strong friendship and trust and relationship between the two of these. You had to see his reaction. Again, though, there's a twist. And the fact that right away, a knock on the door becomes dangerous because the president is dead, I think, is what Jack Bauer's unfortunate life is about.
So your truck outside. Had you on today.
This, of course, is another great and long story.
Yeah. I mean, it's a tough relationship. It's always tough. I think every year it's one of our biggest battles is what is that relationship with Jack? What kind of love relationship does he have?
Well, we battled internally, you know, obviously before even you saw the script,
right.
and in the end, it really came around to what it was. The thing is that Jack is not Jack. He's somebody else, and he loves Audrey.
Yes, that's a problem.
But it wasn't a problem because I think it just...
That's right.
She helped state that Jack is in love with Audrey Raines and always will be and can never be hers.
Use a glass, please.
But again, a nice moment. I mean, this is Jack playing dad, giving the glass. Those little moments I love as a director. And I love, of course, the fact that he doesn't take the glass.
Right.
So within that one little motion, you get what that relationship
right.
is.
Excuse me.
And look here that we just added.
Something, Frank?
Those little beats that are fun to work with the actors and finding those moments.
He's good, Brady. I like.
Yeah, he was really interesting.
You were there last year?
Really heavy for a teenager. Like, had some weight to him.
Yeah.
I mean, just almost like the modern teenager with the weight of the world on him. He wasn't your carefree, you know, 15-year-old.
You know, obviously, a lot of the tension in the episode is Jack's lie colliding with the real world and the present world.
It's all right.
And being outed by an innocent is actually kind of interesting.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that he was just staying away from everybody and staying undercover, and here's this kid sort of falling over the fact that he might not be who he is.
And it underscores the danger every time Jack gets involved at any level with anyone.
That's right. Again, another strange scene for us. And this is for all those people that are always saying Jack doesn't eat.
But I don't see him eating, John.
He will. He will. You got to watch a box. I'm going to point it out when it comes. There is a box.
It's kind of protective of me, but it's the best thing in the world for him to have a man around here.
And I think Connie did a great job, too.
Yeah.
Look what he said about you know, and it's tough for new actors to come into this family. And although we do it every year, it's a little intimidating. I think every year that we get more popular, it gets harder and harder for new people to come in.
I think the whole point of this relationship, and that's what was communicated, was its ambivalence.
That's right.
And that it's
and
not
it
a full,
yeah.
and that really is what comes out.
No information has been released to the public at this time, but an independent source has verified.
And now we go to the other people we love so much, briefly.
I mean, it really was, you know, this episode could have been subtitled House Cleaning.
Yeah, exactly. Now, did you notice the Cubs mug he was holding? There it is.
That's right.
Which, you know, the fans know and love. That little Cubs mug of his, being a Chicago fan that he is.
This is different.
Come on, Michelle.
And this was interesting, you know, looking for a place. It's really kind of fun when I do the first episode because you're setting so much. And you're saying so much sometimes just in the set you pick. And, you know, we know we wanted a modern house. And in essence, this house to me was CTU. CTU in house form. It's like these people, although they've moved away and they don't want to be CTU anymore, instinctively they just are. You know, and actually this is what the scene's about. It's like she wants to go back and he doesn't.
Which, by the way, is consistent with who they were last year. It was
That's
really
right.
Tony who had sort of gotten his heart and soul out of CTU and invited her to leave.
Rick Rosen's expecting us to make a presentation.
There's Rick Rosen. Happens to be my agent.
I know when I hear a name like that, it's somebody's friend or agent.
Right.
We changed this a little bit, too, because I know there was a concern that you know...
He was too cold.
And we added a line right at the end here. It was a reshoot where he says to Rick Rosen, I'm going with her.
Right.
In the first pass at it, he wasn't. And I think it was a good ad. It was a really good ad. This woman that had this house, it's a beautiful house, wouldn't let us blow up this window. Even though we promised everything would be normal and back to normal. So this is a set. This one little portion here where the windows blow out is actually a set. We built that whole glass and we built, put the curtains in. So right there, that's a set. That's all a set. And then you're back to the real house when he runs out.
How close was he when you blew the window?
He was right there. It hit him. I mean,
it looks like it did.
Yeah, it really hit him. And this was tough. I mean, even just doing what he's doing there, that's
hot.
You do not realize how hot that is, you know, on the door on fire. And I think one of these was a stunt woman. That was Reiko, actually. And then this was amazing. I mean, this was an unbelievable stunt. I mean, when I called cut, they had to go and put him out because he was on fire.
Really?
His shirt was on fire. And, you know, when I talked to the stunt people, it was, there it is, look, see?
He's eating. Oh, there it is.
He's actually eating. So we never all those people.
We never have to field that question ever again.
Exactly.
When does he eat? It's 7:45 on day five.
We can say, just watch the show. He eats, all right? And how many times do you have to eat in a day? He ate once. That was fine. And there's Louis. Louis's back.
The data mining for a connection between them and President Palmer. I sent the parameters to your screen.
I'll get on it.
It's interesting, I think, what we do every year, too, with CTU. The way we bring new characters in. And really, within a few episodes, they already become part of the makeup and wallpaper of 24. And Louis did that for us, and so he's back again this year.
I wanted to give you a heads up before you got here.
Heads up?
It's bad, Chloe.
Yeah, President Paul.
Well, this also was an opportunity, and always is, anytime you can have some kind of dynamic at CTU, in the case of Edgar and Chloe, that he has this smoldering flame for her.
I love that moment when he says to her, her car blew up and her key's just about to go into the keyhole.
Doesn't make any sense. They're retired.
There's another funny story here, too, if you want behind-the-scenes story. This gentleman here, this bald gentleman that is the bad guy that chases her, virtually did this shot and only one other shot running. Because on his second take, on the first take, you're about to see the shot right now. This is him running here. On this shot here, he fell down and broke his Achilles tendon, ripped it open. And so from here on in, so this is the only shot of him running. All the other shots, that's him.
Right.
And now starting right here, this is the camera assistant who had a shaved head. We shaved him up. And in fact, if you really look carefully, you could tell it's a camera assistant in this shot right there. It's a complete different guy.
Oh, that is so...
And that's the camera assistant. And now what I did, I said, it was either that or blow our day. And we couldn't afford that. So at this point, I built in this little stall here so I could actually put the actor in, see his face, just standing there, and now you're back to the camera assistant again.
And John, that's amazing.
And then have him stop again. And then we had him stop again up here. Right, so again, that's the camera assistant, Eric, and now this is the real guy just standing in place.
Who's in agony at this point.
Unbelievable, total agony. I mean, the guy was such a trooper just to stay with us. So those are the things that happen when you're shooting, and you absolutely have no choice. I mean, it's either that, we weighed, can we come back tomorrow, and it costs so much money. I looked at Eric, I said, you know, you look just like him. He had a little beard, I said, great. Shave that off, you got the part. And he did a great job for us. And I think that was like day two. So it was pretty early on. And there's always a phone call that drags Jack back in.
You know, which of course became a huge issue because we all had sort of conceptually liked the idea of Jack staying dead for a longer time.
Longer, right.
And I think, what did we make, two acts?
But isn't that, I mean, it almost happens every year now. We see it coming, that the things that you plan out that you think are going to go two or three episodes become half an episode.
Right.
I think actually one of the things that surprised me coming up was what comes up in the next episodes with the airport. We were able to drag that over a few episodes.
Right.
I think
when we started the season, we said the first six will be at the airport.
At the airport, there you go.
So
it always gets dragged there. This was a set. This was all a set that we built in studio.
This, of course, is a great,
really have the room.
Great moment.
There's an abandoned oil refinery at Varyell in Topanga.
Jack digging out his past.
Yeah, I love that he has it hidden behind something. You know, so in essence, he knows he can never really pull away. That somewhere he has a bag filled with money and a gun and everything he needs to get back to that world when he needs to. And the watch.
The watch. And the glasses.
And the glasses. And the music. The music is a big part of that whole sequence. That 24, what we call now the 24 theme. Roger crosses back. I think it's comfortable, too, to see these people again, to know that they're still there, they're still working from last year.
Michelle and Tony have been inactive for over a year. Who'd want them dead?
Whoever wanted Palmer dead.
There's our conference room. As much as we love it because it's easy to shoot because of the way it's lit, for some reason it's a curse for us. We get in there and it just seems like we're there forever.
The DOD liaison is here.
Because it's so tight?
It's tight and it's just one of those rooms that... No, it's nicely designed because you got all the glass. I think all the actors get in there, and it's also where we do most of our exposition, too, so.
I love this shot. I mean, you know, we debated Audrey's arrival this year. Again, she's sort of the emotional anchor. She's the one who Jack's being alive means the most to.
And I think you always need that with this character. I think it's really important. It's always fun for me to play these, to think about these scenes as a director, too. Entrances and people coming and going from CTU are big moments for us.
Right.
They are every year. You know, when people get fired, there's that long walk away. When George Mason walked out for the last time, when Jack comes back, when he comes back in and CTU is blown up. I mean, all those moments through the years are really big moments.
Right.
So I always take a little time to you know, take the time, take that shot, see her looking, thinking about her past. And again, it's a little background without really having to say much.
Set up for you when you're situated. We'll go over the revised security protocol.
Great, thank you.
And of course, the wonderful Kim Raver. Again, she takes a moment here to just take it all in.
Was a man of truth.
This was our first day of shooting. This was one of the first things we shot this year. And what we did is we built a stage out at a horse farm out in Hidden Valley. Oh, this was another scene that kind of went back and forth a little bit. The dunking of the face.
Right, and I believe at some point, I don't think you wanted her to do it. That was written.
No,
I didn't want her to do it, and she insisted on doing it. And I think
she loved it. I mean, Jean has just loved all the quirkiness of the character. And anytime a draft comes out with some quirk in
crazy
it, then
act.
We kind of pull back a little bit. We say, oh, that's the first lady. She wouldn't do that.
She does it twice
She's the first one to come running into the office saying, what have you done?
I got to say, her instinct for this character was uncanny.
Very, very good. Yeah, I think she was definitely right. I have no problem saying that she was right. And the dunking of the head was just, I think,
I love
again,
that shot, by the way, John. I love
that
shot.
Yeah, that beautiful in the mirror. I think the dunking of the head was just such a wonderful way to say.
Here I am.
Here I am. Sandrine playing the assistant. Evelyn does a great job for us.
You don't have to talk about me like I'm not here.
And again, a wonderful set by Joseph. It's all part of that same set, but you know, not your typical White House retreat. I mean, he's always sort of slightly ahead. And even though this is retro, but it's, I think, slightly
it's ahead and behind. Yeah,
ahead and behind. It's really wonderful.
We've gotten some real use out of that set.
Yeah, and we really have. And of course, it's scary for us because we don't have every single episode written until the end of the year. When you build a set this big and this expensive, you're hoping. You're just hoping that you're going to, you know, be
use
in it by episode 24. And we all took a chance. I think Michael Click, our producer, and Joseph, and I all sort of, and you, to give the go-ahead to design a set this big and this
and
expensive.
And by the way, we actually committed to, I think, eight?
Eight. Eight was our number.
Maybe we'll get eight. And I believe
we're happy
shooting,
with eight.
We're shooting 19.
That's right.
On the retreat.
And we know at this point, actually, we're going to be there right till the end. So.
Do we get a bonus for using
this? I don't know, do we?
Huh?
Yeah. It's just, people at Fox are happy because we didn't spend all that money for nothing, so. And it is a wonderful set. And again, you don't want to build it so small that it's going to catch you in a corner. I mean, we really have the ability to do any kind of scenes you guys write. We're able to fit into what he built. And then I think the addition of finding that horse farm, too, which was wonderful. The horse
and
ranch.
And tying in the details
farm.
From the exterior.
And exactly. And in fact, it's really interesting because the interior of this, because you see the horse statues and the horse pictures, came after we found the exterior. When we found the exterior, Joseph and I said, well, look, it's a horse ranch. Let's bring that inside the house, and it'll really feel like it's all one place.
Agent North, call John. Tell him not to let Mrs. Logan anywhere near the stage.
In creating Martha Logan, we wanted very much to sort of, this was a conspiracy, and there's a mystery that's really going on here, unlike any other year, which was just, you know, not just, but it was a threat.
Yeah,
this really was about something that's being put together from Jack's point of view, and interesting to put this woman who's sort of the unstable first lady having a shred of the truth, and she's kind of like the boy who cried wolf.
This was tough even casting for us. I mean, we really went through a lot of people, and I think Jean was actually one of our first choices.
Jean was the first one, and she was out of town doing summer
stuff. That's right.
And then I believe when she walked in, were you in the room? I don't know if
no,
you were.
No, I don't think I was.
But Joel and I looked at each other.
Right away.
And
yeah.
Before she even sat down, yeah. We said, she's Martha Logan.
But there were a lot of wonderful actresses that, A, wanted to do this part,
right.
And B, we considered. But you know what? This is one of those ones where I think everyone knows, and I think the audience will also confirm that it was the right person for the job. She's just done wonderful work with it. And mesmerizing. I mean, you can't,
and
can't
also
take your eyes off.
And she and
her.
Greg Itzen have a chemistry.
There is a chemistry.
They knew each other before from the, I think they did.
Yes, they did. That's right. In fact, when we looked to put pictures around the set to make it look like, you know, pictures from them, she actually brought a picture in of the two of them in a play that we fixed up a little, and it's on the set.
Really?
It's unbelievable. Standing right beside each other,
how
too.
How long ago was it?
Oh, my God. It had to be probably 70s, I guess. And they were in a tuxedo and an evening gown, so it worked out perfectly. The box is, of course, one of our little tricks that we do to make sure everyone knows where everyone is.
How many times did we go around in this scene, John?
Yeah, I mean, this one was a...
The challenge here was to get Jack back to CTU organically, and, you know, so as not to just have him... Going back, we wanted to put the kid who didn't like him very much in.
Now you see the truck coming in the background right. there, right
it's a,
there.
It's a jump.
There was a bit of a jump because there was an actual scene where a guy stopped and he says to him,
come
you want to come fishing?
Us, yeah.
Again,
yeah.
A very character moment, but just felt like we slowed it down a little bit.
This moment, too, was reshot.
That had a little
because...
bit of a dialogue scene to it right. where he talked to him a little bit and then knocked him out. And then, you know.
What was important eventually... is that what was important to sort of justify Jack taking the kid down with him. Was that nobody had seen him steal the helicopter.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we all knew it was thin that he took the kid with him, but it's one of those things we need to do to push the
Make
story
it,
forward.
Right.
And to have him have someone that he cares for within the danger itself.
And as we've discussed, if you move fast enough and convincingly enough...
That's right.
Just
so there. So don't write any letters. We
right.
answered it. That's
we
it.
You're going with me. I'm getting the helicopter. Frank.
And in fact, if you'll notice, they conveniently placed a motorbike in the back to
yeah.
justify how
that
he
was,
got
that
there.
That was a little trick we used just for people to say, how did he
get
there? Now, of course, I'm not sure. It always worked when he stopped and talked to the guy because that was the moment, I guess, if he was following him, how he got around. But the second we cut that out, I'm not sure how he got there that quick. This was interesting, too. We had to cover Carlos's face in a way. We weren't sure what we were going to do.
How bad it was,
How
right.
bad it was going to be. So I think that was just a nice stopgap for us, just to cover it in a way that we can make it whatever we wanted to later, depending what we were going to do with this character.
They're going to try to insert a stint to relieve the pressure.
Will he be able to talk then?
The doctor doesn't know.
And I think even, you know, you could talk about this a little bit, too. I think originally Tony was supposed to die with Michelle in that
That's
one
right.
explosion.
Yeah, and actually Carlos... It was sort of a confluence of events. Carlos pitched an idea that we liked
yeah.
to keep him alive.
To keep him alive.
He pitched himself out of the
That's right.
coffin for the third time. But in the end, it was also something we just felt was just going to be too unrecoverable. For the president and Michelle and Tony to be dead would have been just...
Well, I think his point was the best one of all, too, which was, you know, it's a shocker that you're going to kill Michelle. And if you kill Tony, that's only going to be one shock you're wasting. And that way
right.
you can use Tony's character and later down the road if you want to do it some,
right.
something
I
with his character,
I,
you get a double shock out of it.
Right, right.
So that made sense.
Someone who's not supposed to still be alive.
Now, these, of course, were never actually flying in the helicopter. This is just us sitting on the ground and moving the cameras around a little bit. But it works. I mean, you believe it.
So what are you going to do with me?
There are times we actually do go up. Sometimes in action scenes, it's fun to go up and actually shoot over Kiefer, and like we did on the rooftop. But for these dialogue scenes, it's actually much easier because when you go up in a helicopter, it becomes very difficult, obviously, to have a director there and be able to talk to the actors. So if it's just an action piece, we do it. But if it's dialogue, it's always on the ground.
Diane, please just do this for me. I need you to get in the car and start driving now.
You're scaring me.
Diane, do you remember this morning when...
What act are we on? We're already so into it here. It's unbelievable.
Oh, that's right. Did we do?
It's just unbelievable. I'm just watching it again. It's how fast we get into the story and racing to the end. We're already racing to the end of this episode. You know, I think where most shows would take much longer.
And frankly, we have in the past.
And we have
our
too.
First year, yeah. Our first years are always very slow-burning episodes, setting up everything and then culminating. But this.
Yeah, usually really it starts, most of our years start at the end of episode one, where we set everything up and then the big thing happens at the end of one.
I love the shot too, John. I love this. Love it.
Yeah, again, it's working the environments too with the actors. But we're pretty open here as far as the blocking and making sure the actors feel comfortable. And
I love the morning light also. It really feels like morning light.
Yeah. You know, and that's a challenge for us, obviously. The lighting is changing as the day goes by. It's very subtle, but it does change hour by hour. They usually have marks up on the grid where they move the sun, where the lights move little by little as the sun changes.
We just need to get through today.
Charles. Is this year look different than other years? I mean, did you do something?
No, not really. I mean, every set will have a different look. CTU basically was the same. This
blue.
Is much warmer.
Right.
It almost doesn't matter what the other storyline is, but it's always warmer than CTU. So last year, for example, we had the Arouse family. So when you were in their house, it was warmer.
Golds
it was warmer
and
light.
Browns,
it was
right?
golds and browns, even in the set design. Always soft CTU. You rarely see another set that has the kind of bluish tinge and grays of CTU because it always stands out. CTU is always its own, our home base. So everything else is usually opposite of that. And that's something that Rodney Charters, our DP, and Joseph are very conscious of when designing all the lighting in the sets.
Charles, you shut him out of this White House about 18 months ago. You know that.
I mean, it's just gold. Anything with the two of these folks together is just so fantastic.
You didn't believe me.
I didn't say that.
You didn't need to.
You know, I think the funny thing, too, the way you guys have written this relationship, it's real. It feels real. Unlike most sort of presidential relationships that you see.
Or kind of 2D. And
yeah, that, you know, that everyone is, you know, the president is perfect.
Well, I
got to
say, you know, what we've done, though, in years past also, we've added so many more characters to the drama. You know, with Palmer, he had his brother, and he had Penny,
right,
and he had his
that's
kids.
Right. Yeah, with Palmer,
and his advice.
Yeah.
And we really have kept this between these two. It's really a story of
that's
a marriage.
Interesting. Yeah.
And they've had to find the drama, and we've had to write the drama in a much more subtle kind of bandwidth than, you know, most.
Yeah, but they're fighting over some pretty serious stuff. It's not who left the toilet seat up.
Yeah.
I think that's what makes it interesting. It feels like the sort of petty argument you would have in any marriage, except the weight of what they're talking about because of who they are is so important.
Yeah, it was really about telling the story about a man who was ambitious and politically powerful and how a marriage has sort of paid the price.
Paid the price, yeah.
But that they love each other.
No, Walt, she's not all right. She's having another one of her delusions.
And this is such a great moment when he
this
comes
This is my
out.
Favorite moment
yeah,
in the whole thing.
I just
thing.
Love it.
She's imagining she's in the middle of one of her own conspiracy theories.
Well.
And again, I think it's so hard to watch because he was so sincere with her. I mean, you really believed he was sincere.
This one, nothing. But it pains
nothing.
Him also.
That's right.
The part
it does
that's...
pain him.
And of course, John is going to now go into diabetic shock because this is the part you...
We also had Chloe coming up in the taxi here. We had a scene that I think just mostly for time got cut out, and it slowed it down a little bit. And
I kind
of
liked it.
It was kind of interesting. We'll talk about when we get there, but now, of course, you got
well, this, of course, right.
Worried about Chloe.
And she's not answering her cell phone.
I wouldn't worry about it.
She sounded strange when I talked to her.
She always sounds strange.
That's our version of comedy. So there's actually a lot of funny lines in this first episode, probably more than most of the year. Most of them.
The
are
second,
Chloe.
You mean the first, the second episode too? She's got some.
And so, yeah, she's got some too. But it's either her lines or about her.
Right.
It's usually our version of comedy. And Gene actually has some pretty funny stuff too. I mean, I'm sure we're not known for our comedy at this point, Howard.
Don't worry about Chloe. She's fine. Right.
Here's the scene. Basically, it was a scene where she, you know, she didn't know how long the taxi ride was going to be, so she ran out of money, and this guy makes a move on her.
She kicks him in the nuts.
And she kicks him in the nuts and runs away.
You know what's interesting about that, though, and maybe I'm just projecting the fact that it wound up on the floor, but the truth of what happened is contained even in that small drive-up.
Yeah,
it's not
true.
Just some guy.
It's true. There's, like, something odd about him.
Yeah.
friend of mine's in trouble. I needed to pick her up in a hurry. This is the only way I can get to her quick enough.
This is a fantastic location.
Where was it?
It's down in the Long Beach area. Just, you know, it's abandoned, so there's nothing really happening. I think they're taking it apart. Realistically, they're slowly taking it all apart, but it just gives for beautiful backgrounds. And, you know, we added this fence just because we wanted a front to the place.
I love this detail when she catches on it, when she cuts herself. It's the kind of detail that makes it real.
She's fighting it, you know. She's this is not her world. She's not Jack Bauer. She's an analyst. Ow. And then this whole helicopter piece was nice too, just that they couldn't get away. I mean, again, that's us playing some real time element to it. That in most movies you would jump in a helicopter and 2 seconds later you'd be in the air. In our case, the helicopter has to warm up. You can't just jump in a helicopter and take off. So it forced them to have to leave the helicopter and then be on the run.
I can do it from my laptop. There's a research loft at Caltech. I can get us in. Who's that?
Good question.
I love it. What car? You know, he just assumed, obviously, she was going to come with the car, and that's why we put her in a taxi, so they'd have to get back in the helicopter. The tension of it is great. Now we're in real-time tension, because that chopper has to warm up.
There I like that little zoom, zoom by
those
the
little way. Emphasis zooms, yeah. Little push there. Again, it's getting all the right pieces. That was, again, a reshoot just of that one actor because we changed that actor. So we went back for a day and just did little pieces to put him in. So he wasn't there the day we originally did all this. And I think one of the concerns was, too, is that, and it's mostly my fault, the actor I had picked, because of the final scene with Kiefer, was too young. I mean, he was just a little too young for the part. And Kiefer really felt like it was a guy that, you know, they were the same.
Parody, right?
There was a comparison. They were on the same level. He was a good guy, he was a bad guy, but they were on the same level. And the first gentleman we had was a great actor, but just a little too young for the part. So we made some adjustments, and I'm making it sound so simple and easy, but it wasn't. But, you know, we did it, and I think it turned out great. This actor was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. By the way, was he injured at this point, the ball guy?
Yeah, the ball guy, again, as you'll notice, is not moving.
Right.
So that's the actor, and at this point now, I think we had a stunt double for him running away. It's a bad injury, and at this point, it's like 3 weeks later, but it didn't matter. See, again, he's standing still because the poor guy couldn't even walk. I mean, he was such a trooper to do what he did. And then, you know, just playing with the action is always fun for us because we always want to make it a little different, a little more real. And I love how Chloe becomes a mother hen here. It becomes kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And this actually stunt went a little bit wrong, but you know what? Wrong in a way that actually works better for our show.
What happened?
Well, it was supposed to flip right over and do a roll and all of that, but it just drove into these cars, and it just looked so good.
That looked like it hurt.
I loved it. I thought it looked great. The stunt guy drove it, too. I mean, that's not what happened to him, obviously, but a stunt guy did drive it, and that car
worse.
That he went into was just totally slaughtered. This chain thing was kind of interesting. It was a Kiefer idea, you know, that maybe the bad guy hit the chain, and he sees the chain moving.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually shot it the other way around. We did Kiefer's part first, and then we actually than the bad guy hitting the chain. But those are those kind of details you find on the day. It's such a big place with so many different elements that usually until you're there shooting, you can't even think about them. And I like the fact that he shoots him in the leg, but Chloe just, because it's not her thing, just shoots him as many times as she can because Jack would have never put him in that position. And that's always tough for us because we've always got to build in reasons why Jack doesn't kill somebody because he needs the information.
Jack, what are you doing? Let's get out of here.
Chloe, take Derek and walk away. Walk away now!
Look, she's holding his hand. I think that's so cute. And this was tough. I mean, this dialogue was so important to launch the rest of the year. I know you went back and forth a couple of times with it.
We knew we needed enough information to make it a satisfying hour. And we had to limit what he knew and yet define what he's saying.
What it's going to be. Yeah.
This morning you tried to take him out. Why?
Palmer was a primary target.
Actually, we inverted, if you remember, this scene from... We took a scene out of episode 2, made that this, and then when he was discovered
by
CT.
That's right. I think it was like a little unsatisfying at the end of 1, because the end of 1 originally ended
it was confusing.
With him just coming up to him and ending, and you had no idea what that story
was. And it
was
answered by what was happening to CT, and it just felt flat.
That's right.
Only hired to take out the principal.
This grounds the whole episode and the whole season. This is the guy who took out
And
David
that's the other
Palmer.
Thing I think that was brilliant in the way you wrote this, that amazingly enough, within the first hour, we've already found out who killed the president. You would think that would be a whole year's worth of stuff. We found it, but you know on 24, who put him up to it is really what's going to be important.
And by the way, this is a color of Jack we've really not seen since Nina and probably
This was a tough
new
one.
Level, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's all I know. Take me to
I mean, look at that.
I mean, Jack is really not an executioner gratuitously, but this is not gratuitous. This is bloodlust.
And there you go. You're off.
I'm watching the next one.
I'm watching it too.